I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, hour number two. Tiki and Tierney live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Championship game tonight in Minneapolis. Tiki's out there. He's in downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota, and watches boys, hopefully, for Tiki win tonight. Texas Tech Red Raiders on the other side. And this should be a low-scoring affair. It's amazing. The over-under is 117. We'll get back to the hoops. We'll get to Antonio Brown in a minute. And Juju Smith-Schuster is firing back a bit. But, you know, Tiki, I know you don't have the answer to this because I don't have the answer to this. And if it pertains to wrestling, if I don't have the answer, then the show doesn't have the answer. And that's just right. Because you didn't get into it. I get that. It's not, you know, it's all good. But can somebody explain to me, like, you go back to the first WrestleMania, and I know that they had the first one, obviously, at the Garden, the 10th one and the 20th at the Garden, and early on, they experimented with a bunch of different venues. Like, the second one, they had three different locations. One was at the Nassau Coliseum. One was in Chicago, wherever the other one was. The third one was at the Pontiac Silverdome when Hulk slammed Andre. 93,000 people saw it, although that number's actually inflated. The point is, you know, the weather in the Northeast is wildly unpredictable. So they have WrestleMania last night. And I know they had it back, I guess it would have been maybe 6 or 7 years ago when Rock battled Cena.
Yeah, where's Bilotti when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. Bilotti would have the answer to this. But can somebody explain to me how in the first week in April, when it is not out of the realm of possibility that you get sideways snow or, you know, winds that are, you know, blasting 28 miles per hour, how do they hold WrestleMania in an outdoor venue with all the logistics?
That's a great question.
I don't understand it.
It's you know why? Because I think the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority sells themselves as having a connection to the weather gods. Because think about the Super Bowl that we had here, right? Because the next day, remember the Super Bowl, I forget what number it was, but it was the one where these Colts got beat up. I mean, the Broncos got beat up by the...
Was that like 48, 49,
yeah, something like
I think?
That. They got beat up by Seattle.
Yeah.
It was rather a perfect day for a football game. And then the next day, it was like 8-9 inches of snow.
Yep.
Right? So they just kind of got lucky. The same thing could be said here. They just it's the luck of the draw. And I guess there's likely a contingency, right, if we should get April snow, which is not uncommon in the Northeast over the last a few years or so. Like, there's got to be a contingency.
I don't think so.
I have no idea what
you would
do if
that
should happen.
You can't.
How do you do it? You can't shield the ring.
Well, that's right. They have the top of the rings covered. That's why I said if the snow or the rain is tilting sideways, you know, yeah, the football conditions were relatively pristine for the Super Bowl. We got lucky there. But, you know, fans go to a game. You might get hit with, even though it's more corporate fans at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And players are accustomed to playing on, you know, wet conditions and sloppy fields. If, you know, if the ring is not protected and the wrestlers are still, you know, bare chested and like they're still coming out in their normal gear, I believe.
They have to.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to cover
up. It's part of the look.
I don't understand. I know. And logistically, there can't be another plan. You're not going to stick them in the, I don't know, where the Nets used to play, the Continental Airlines. I mean, what are they going to do? Send them to the Rock where the Devils play?
I have no idea. I didn't even think about that until you just mentioned it.
I just don't get that. But it worked out well, and it seemingly went pretty well. You know, I guess it was well. I mean, I know it was well attended. I don't know how the numbers went. But, you know, it's funny. As much as I've gotten away from wrestling, and it's crazy because I ripped through the first couple, which, I mean, I could recite, like, biblical verses, like, from ingrained into my head from First Communion. I know everything about wrestling. You know this early. I've gotten away from it as I've gotten older, obviously. But I have to go to a WrestleMania. I have to go to one. And I thought about this one. This one snuck up on me, and, you know, I was thinking, just to see it. just to see, because that's the one event, Teague, that my dad would never take me to. Because he didn't like the crowd. Like, it was a little riff-raff back in the day, a little riff-raff.
It's changed, obviously.
No, I know. I get that. But I've never been to a live wrestling event. And for somebody who loved wrestling, I should probably get to one at some point, right?
No, it's different. You should, but it's different these days. But speaking of things that we don't understand, about Antonio Brown not being able to let go of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, I appreciate Antonio Brown's skill, BT. I really do. I think
it's very noble of you. He's the best receiver in football.
I think he's one of the best receivers in the game, right? And he's probably over the last decade, you could even say that.
Okay.
But this dude is getting to the point where I honestly think something's mentally wrong with him because he can't let it go. Mm-hmm. And not only is he, you know, attacking the Steelers organization, which we've seen over the last few months, Mike Tomlin, et cetera, Ben Roethlisberger, the upper echelon. He's attacking the guys that had his back, right? Juju Smith-Schuster had Antonio Brown's back for a lot of this nonsense, right? All of the craziness that he showed during the season and the disruption in the lot. He always had his back. Now, for whatever reason, he decides to put him on blast on Twitter, saying Juju Smith-Schuster is the reason that the Steelers didn't make the playoffs because he fumbled in Week 16 against the Saints. Now, it's probably because he wanted to be the MVP, but you disconnected yourself from the team. There was no way you were going to be MVP of the team.
Yeah.
Right? Especially you set out the last week, and then you didn't want to be there. So how are you going to be MVP? It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, there is – you got to focus on the word value. You know, and it's funny. I don't know if you guys had this distinction when you were playing, you know, Little League football or Pop Warner, you know, Pee Wee football. The we had two awards. We had most outstanding player.
Yeah.
And we had most valuable player.
It's interesting.
And it's easy to understand. A lot of people actually think that the NBA and Major League Baseball should create such a distinction where you have maybe the best stats or maybe somebody who, you know, and value can be a nebulous
it would allow the great players on losing teams to be most valuable.
You know what I mean? Or because at least most outstanding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For instance, like Mike Trout, he could probably be both because he's without them for the last few years. These upcoming ones, hopefully, it's a different story. Why even watching the Angels? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's certainly the most outstanding because he's MVP quality, but he's also the most valuable because without him, where are you going to be? But I hear you. There is definitely a distinction that a lot of people don't ascertain all the time.
Okay, but Antonio Brown ascertains that distinction because somebody by the name of Steeler Steve, at Stephen Covey II, I believe is his Twitter handle, there was a picture, and this is what we referenced over the weekend, of Juju Smith, and then, you know, superimposed above it in font, you know, 2018 Steelers, most valuable player, Juju Smith-Schuster. Antonio Brown subtweets that, and he writes, emotion, colon, boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everybody went blind, too busy, only 1-0, which obviously drives me insane, too busy, making guys famous, not enough reality these days. And then he says, by the way, check the list here. And then Juju, you know, who has had his back and has been a staunch supporter, ardently in and clearly in Antonio Brown's corner, came back and basically said, you know, enough is enough here, man. And we'll get to what he wrote. Actually, D-Cell, I'm going to have D-Cell. Actually, here it is. It's up on the screen. All I ever did was show that man love and respect for the moment I got to the league. I was genuinely happy for him, too. Ah, two O's. There you go, Juju. So a nicer person and a smarter person when he got traded to Oakland with a big contract. And now he takes shots at me on social media. And, you know, with a question mark. Crazy how big that ego got to be to take shots at people who show you love. SMH, the acronym for shaking my head. Here's what's most dangerous and what Raider fans and Raider management should be most worried about. When you wake up and there's an erraticness, if you will, that creeps into your, not only your thoughts, but then probably more frighteningly, your willingness to transfer those thoughts and put it out there for public dissemination, as Antonio Brown so freely and so clearly is, who the hell knows what he's going to write tomorrow or quite, you know, more about Derek Carr Let's say we're 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
You think the Raiders really should have any confidence, a modicum
no.
of confidence that he won't destroy their quarterback?
No. You know
exactly.
why? You know why? Because Antonio Brown is so internet connected. He does all these flashy things that that he puts on social media, and it makes him cool. At least in his own mind.
Yeah, he thinks.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the first thing that Juju Smith-Schuster said when he responded back was, keep your emotions off the internet. That's impossible for Antonio Brown to do. And,
yeah.
here's why it's dangerous, because you start saying things on social media, just like the guy who's hiding in his mom's basement and tweeting out, you know, hate and trolling other guys. Antonio Brown feels like what he says on the internet doesn't apply to real life. Like it doesn't have any effect
yeah.
on people around you, and it's just not the case. You know what I mean? Those are real things that people read and get offended by.
Mm-hmm.
We all are way too connected. We all take too much stock in what we read on the internet or we see on social media or whatever it may be, but especially athletes who are hypersensitive to this stuff. And so, Antonio Brown, you're not in Pittsburgh. You cannot be the MVP. You know what I mean? They're not going to champion someone who ran out the door in week 17 and then bounced as soon as he could, or at least demanded that he be bounced. He even had 2 years left on his contract. So, look at yourself first. And I don't think Antonio Brown has the ability to do that. I'm glad Juju Smith-Schuster responded in a calm
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Because he easily could have got hyped over this.
Yep.
But he responded the right way, which makes him the bigger man and taking the high road.
Then he subtweets this quote from Mark Twain, never argue with a fool. Well, that's
exactly.
great.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know the cliche, right? The problem with telling an idiot that he's an idiot is the fact that he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Not going to register. You can tell him 1,000 times or
right.
1,000 different ways. I think it's a great classy retort by Juju. And, you know, what's most worrisome as the Raiders try to reestablish a winning culture, Antonio Brown taking a shot at a guy who, as Tiki so properly pointed out, always had Antonio Brown's back.
Always.
But at his weakest professional moment, when the Steelers were down by 3 and he fumbled inside of a minute, I believe it was at their own 40, they were moving the football.
Yeah.
And Juju Smith-Schuster was professionally inconsolable, which you have to respect, because it just illustrates how much he cares about his team.
Agreed.
And the locker room and his sport and himself. He was so accountable. And Antonio Brown puts that on blast, making a joke out of it. That's a horrendous teammate. And it's all just take this to the bank. Only a matter of time before he starts taking shots at Gruden or Derek Carr or both or whomever they draft or whomever plays quarterback. If it's not Derek Carr, book it. Because Antonio Brown is a malcontent with no filter and seemingly not enough brain cells to be in the same place for too long, because he puts it in flames.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
It's hard to disagree with that, BT. Let's not forget, they lost control of their destiny in the 3 weeks or the 4 weeks prior to that. They did beat the New England Patriots, but they lost to the Broncos, they lost to the Chargers, and they lost to the Raiders, Antonio Brown's current team, all games that they could have and should have won, and the Juju Smith-Schuster. Which fumbles happen. Trust me, they
of
happen.
Course.
But they don't determine entireties of games. In the moment, it may feel that way, but it's a team sport, and there's lots of moments from opening kick to final whistle that ultimately determine the outcome.
All
That's
right.
unfair.
I'm sorry, T. Coming up, this will make Tiki smile. Jim Miller, former UVA forward.
I have not.
Okay.
Have not.
Well, he's going to join us coming up. He was the forward on the 84 Final Four team. And he's the current radio analyst, the voice of the Cavs. So we'll get back into the game tonight, dissect some of the matchups, and look ahead to what's going to be a tight league. You know it's going to be tight, and it's going to be a grind-out, ultra-uber-competitive NCAA championship game kicking off at 9:20 Eastern tonight on CBS. So Jim Miller is up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney on this busy Monday, Championship Monday out in Minnesota tonight. Tiki and Tierney, of course, on your radio, on your TV, Sirius XM 206. And Tiki is out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm back in New York in our Lower Manhattan studio. And joining us now on the phone from Minnesota, Jim Miller, who played forward for the Cavs, was on the 84 Final Four team, and he is part of the radio broadcast team, second year in the booth. And, you know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you kind of jumped in at the right time here, Jim. Although you did. Well, it depends how you look at it. You could win your first ever championship, all right, as a school. But you also were there for the 116 loss. So would a championship tonight, would it offset what happened last year and the shock that probably brought?
Well, let me start by saying that being here my second year, Virginia has lost a total of 6 games over that 2-year period. So I would agree that I absolutely hit it at the right time without a doubt. That being said, yeah, when you look at a year ago against the UMBC and that loss, Virginia, you know, I think they did a great job of owning it. And they used it to their advantage, not knowing how far they would advance this year, of course, but their theme was united pursuit. And whatever their journey would be and how far it would go, they were going to do it together. And so I think it would be a remarkable story. It is a remarkable story to go from losing to a 16 in UMBC to now a year later playing for the national championship on Monday night. It's short of remarkable.
Yeah, first of all, Jim, Wahoo Wise. Yeah, I know you know what that means. BT's grown to know what it means over the 6 years that we've worked together. And I'll be at US Bank Stadium this afternoon as well, this evening, I should say, to catch it. But let me ask you this, because you've seen it up close, and you see it in guys like Ty Jerome or Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, all those that Jack Salt, who experienced it, Diakite as well. It's the same team that experienced this UMBC massive upset last year. The resiliency to come back and do it again is the story. But what's the undercurrent, right? What drives this? It's Tony Bennett, obviously, but what drives this about UVA players that's making this so special? Because it almost feels fated. You hate to use that word, but it almost feels that way.
Well, Tiki, you make a great observation, great point in that. When you look at the difference from last year's team to this year's team, there's one word that comes to mind, and that's versatility. So last year they had Devin Hall and Isaiah Wilkins as those two seniors that they lost. And now when you look at the further development of DeAndre Hunter and Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome with the senior leadership of Jack Salt inside, those three in particular, their ability to put more points on the board, say, than what this team did a year ago, I think it makes them a very difficult matchup for any team that they've played this year, certainly given what they can do on the defensive end. When you talk about DeAndre Hunter, his length, 6'8", 6'9", can stretch the floor. He can shoot it from all areas on the floor, including behind the line, and then he can stretch a larger opponent, put the ball on the floor, of course, and being able to take it all the way to the rim. And Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome both can shoot it from the parking lot. And so when those three guys offensively are producing, they're a tough challenge for anybody. And then when you look at what they do collectively as a team on the defensive end, including the Defensive Player of the Year in DeAndre Hunter, his ability to use his size and length to not only guard a interior guy, but to go out on the floor and guard out on the perimeter using his length, really makes him difficult to play against.
We're talking to Jim Miller, who played at Virginia, went to the Final Four back in 1984, last time that the Virginia was there, and back tonight, of course, and he's part of the radio broadcast team, Teaks, in Minneapolis. And where are you? Still in the hotel, Jim, or the team meet yet? Where are you right now? Are you in the arena?
Yeah. I'm in my quiet space right now. I'm in the team hotel in my room.
Okay.
Just getting my notes and stuff together before I head over in about an hour.
Appreciate the grind. That it's always fun getting on the bus and the band and the pageantry. It's going to be awesome. You guys get the police escort, so I know it's going to feel big time, because it is. But you mentioned DeAndre Hunter, and we're so quick to try to find comparisons. Think about, Teague and I probably came up with five or six different, like one hybrid, but five or six different names to describe Zion Williamson. A little Dominique, a little Len Bias, you know, a little Larry Johnson. DeAndre Hunter, a little Scottie Pippen, given his defensive versatility and what he brings to the table. Can you see that comparison?
Oh, that's That's fair. Yeah, and, you know, his again, his size and length, but what he can do on the defensive end, and you know, there's still upside for DeAndre Hunter. So he's still learning the game, and now he is playing with the bullseye kind of on his back. So he's in Virginia's system. He is. I think he's got to find a way. Personally, I think he's got to find a way to get the ball and be more aggressive. Virginia as a team has looked for him throughout this tournament. We saw it in the second half of the semifinal game against Auburn. He came out and they made a very concerted effort to get the ball to him in action going to the rim. And I think he would take it as a compliment if people were comparing him to Scottie Pippen and the great career that he had.
Yeah, I think when he gets to the NBA, Jim, he'll grow his offensive game a lot more. As we all know, Tony spends a lot of time perfecting that defense that they're so aggressive with. Let me take you back, though, to 84 when Virginia was last there. I mean, we all remember in 83 they lost to NC State, who went on to obviously win against Houston in the final. And then 84, you guys get there, and it's a different world, right? It's a different basketball feel. Like, the game was just different. Being around the campus or the grounds as long as you have been and seeing this evolution, what's it like back home in Charlottesville?
Well, you know, Tiki, that you know, Charlottesville is they are on fire right now. Not literally, all right, but they are the town has been very supportive of this team, and particularly over the last 5 years, and then you can really focus in on the last 2 years and the success that Virginia's had. So there's a lot of excitement. I've gotten a lot of texts and emails from former players from all over the country who many of them have made their way now to Minneapolis to be here for Saturday's game and now a chance to go to the game tonight. Seeing the fans, you know, you guys talked about just a moment ago, the pageantry of this event, you know, there are people out. I can look out my window right now, and there are people out in the streets in front of our hotel, and it's been 24/7. There's security on every floor where the players are staying, and so there's a high level of excitement, without a doubt. The differences, I think, between, say, the 1984 team and you look at this team now, you know, we played in front of 45,000 or whatever in the Kingdom in Seattle, and now they're 70,000+ here in Minneapolis. So just the magnitude of the event, the distractions. You know, as a former player, we like routine, and when we got off the plane here Wednesday, it's anything but a normal routine. And so once we've settled into that, you know, all the press requests and the interviews and media and the hoopla and all that stuff, it was the same back then as it is now. It's probably just times 10 given the state of how the game has evolved and social media and all that good stuff.
Jim, what will this win, if the Virginia Cavaliers win, what will this mean for this program? Because we all know, and what will it mean for college basketball? You've seen it, and you've seen the one-and-done era kind of take over a little bit. But this isn't a one-and-done team, and interestingly, on the other side, neither is Texas Tech. What does this mean for Virginia, but also for college basketball?
Well, I think it's great for college basketball. It shows that, you know, when I go back and look at all the different teams, the majority of the teams perhaps who have won over the last couple of decades, let's say, or, you know, have been teams with upper classmen leadership, juniors and seniors. And it shows that, yeah, there are a lot of talented individuals in the game, and we love to see those. But you see teams really advance in the in the NCAA tournament and going to the Final Four for a lot of times guys that have been playing together for 3 and 4 years. And certainly tonight is a reflection of that.
Awesome. Jim, appreciate you hopping on. 84 Final Four team, part of the broadcast team for Virginia. enjoy every second, because you know, with Virginia, it might be 30 years from now. You doing another Final Four?
Not with Tony.
Only if Tony stays. If Tony stays, you guys are good.
Well, let's hope he stays for a while, anyway. And I agree, it's not going to be another 35 years.
I was being facetious, no doubt. Have a great time tonight, Jim. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, Teek, by the way, where are you sitting tonight, Teek? Are you sitting press row, or are you sitting where you can actually go nuts and be heard?
Well, so there's two parts of what I'm doing. I'm here with Turner again.
Okay.
Turner's Twitter cast that's presented by Wendy's.
Yep.
I'm doing that for the first half.
That's cool.
I'll be doing it with Wes Welker, who is a Texas Tech grad.
He was a walk-on, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he walked out of Texas Tech.
Yeah, exactly. He was here on Saturday, so I'm assuming he'll be back for the final tonight. So we'll be in that suite with Brendan Hayward and Adam Lefkoe and Dana Jacobson, our former colleague at CBS. And then after that, I can really go wherever I want to. I might go to the Norseman's Lounge, which is where Westwood One is set up, Brandon Berman and Schifrin and all those guys, Hannah, et cetera. Or I'll go down on the court again. The problem with being down on the court, though, just like in the semifinal in the Final Four, is you can't really cheer. And so I got to catch myself. I got to decide if I want to cheer or watch it stoically. So I have options, because they gave me the good press pass. Gets me
wherever you want full access, as it should be. Now, do we get the shot of Tiki on CBS tonight?
Well, I think I'm going to go do a CBS Sports Network hit right before the tournament. And then maybe I got to find out where the CBS guys are. I don't know where they are, but hopefully, like, we will.
Yeah.
It will. Especially for winning.
Tierney.
Tiki and Tierney.
3-6 Eastern, Monday
Tiki
through
Barber, not Rondé, not Rondé. Tiki and Tierney.
Not like our website who had a picture of Rondé.
Right. It's a common mistake, though. I saw another one today.
Are you serious?
It was a completely different story. It was about twins who have famous people have birthdays. I shared my birthday with a bunch of, like, really cool people.
Such as? Give us a couple.
Francis Ford Coppola is one.
Okay.
Now it's slipping my head. I have it on my cell phone.
I got you. I'll put you on the spot with that.
Yeah, you put me on the spot. But you know, it's interesting how many people actually do have birthdays on my birthday. They had a picture of – they didn't have Rondé, by the way. They had Tiki as having a celebrity birthday today, and it was a picture of Rondé. And I'm like, come on. God.
Get it together, everybody, please. I don't think you guys look alike at all.
Jackie Chan is another one.
Jackie Chan.
Russell Crowe is a third.
Okay.
D-Cell just pulled those up for me, so appreciate
that. D-Cell, very nice.
Yeah, it's cool. D-Cell. I didn't realize all those guys. Uh-huh. There's a bunch of them.
I don't know. If I'm you, I don't know if the options that you just presented, isolation or – a game like this, I'd probably have to lock myself into isolation. I don't know if I can interact with people if this was my team.
But you know what? It distracts me. You know, and I have this, like, I don't know, this it's like superstition. So I called Tracy in the middle of the game when last in the Final Four, and then we'll take a break here because I know Zach's waiting.
I got you.
When they were up by 10. And I was like, man, I'm starting to breathe a little. I actually tweeted this. I'm like, I'm relaxing a little bit. And she's like, I'm not watching because I'm bad luck. And so right after that, they gave up it was like a 12-2 run. Mm-hmm. Auburn takes a lead, and I'm like, oh, my Lord. And so I just kind of shut up, right, and didn't do anything, didn't interact, didn't do nothing. And ultimately, came back and won. So I think not celebrating or not talking to people is the way to go for me.
Follow
tonight.
The same script. Don't mess around now.
Exactly.
Do not deviate. All right, we're going to get back to the rest of the coming up. Football at the 40s, little Nick Saban. Little Josh Rosen, the Niners hit the list, as does Ryan Shazier. That is after Axe Update, which comes at you right now. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement, everything you need to do projects smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. We take a look at somebody who did a whole lot for his team. How about Nets point guard D'Angelo Russell continues his all-star play over the weekend, red hot against the Bucks and the Pacers as he loaded up 25 points and 10 dimes in Milwaukee on Saturday, 26-6 against the Pacers yesterday, both ending with wins for Brooklyn, which helps him wrap up a spot in the Eastern Conference now, a matter of seeding, obviously, to find out who the Nets will play in the first round. And, you know, Kenny Atkinson, as has D'Angelo Russell, cementing themselves as, you know, as stars, you know, a little unexpected for Russell because we kind of wrote him off mentally because just what transpired early. And coaches, it takes a little long. You need to see tangible results before coaches, you can actually say, this guy's on the path to stardom. But Kenny Atkinson, and I've hinted at that, this year, Kenny Atkinson is a legit star on the coaching ranks, team.
No, I think you're right, BT. And D'Angelo Russell was one of those kids because out in L.A., wasn't a ton of trouble. It was stupid things. It was social media nonsense that kind of went awry and forced his exit from the Lakers. But some of that is leadership, you know, whether it's in the locker room leadership or, coaching leadership that just didn't nurture a young kid who was 19 at the time well enough, kind of forced him to grow up. And now we're seeing him reach his full potential, which is awesome if you're a Nets fan.
No doubt. And Brooklyn's a team. They've got money. I mean, they could get some players here. Mm-hmm. I mean, could they steal somebody from the Knicks or the Clippers? Conceivably, they could. But hats off Kenny Atkinson doing a great job, and D'Angelo Russell as well. Next hour, team, get into this. What would it actually mean if Zion was truly wrapped up in this college hoop scandal? We'll do some basketball next hour. Obviously, get back to the game tonight. And Paul Pierce with a strong take as he compared himself quite favorably and without hesitation to the great Dwayne Wade. So we'll get to that as well. But right now, it's time for football at the 40s. Lots to hit. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Nick Saban, interesting comments over the weekend. Want to get your thought on this. Here's the quote. Now, we have guys that have no draft grades, seventh-round grades, free agent grades, fifth-round grades that are going out of the draft here. And the person that loses out is the player. This is what he said after Alabama's spring game. If you're a third-round draft pick, and we had one here last year, I'm not going to say any names. Goes and starts for his team, so he's making third-round money, which is not that great. This is all Nick Saban quote. He'd be the first guy taken out of his position this year, probably, and make $15 to $18 million more than he has. End quote. Now, easy to deduce that he's focusing on Ronnie Harrison, who's the only Alabama player taken to the third round a year ago. We played eight games, started eight games for the Jaguars this year, made a pick. He had a sack as well, 32 tackles, played reasonably well, and he carved out a nice niche. Do you think, I mean, what Nick Saban said to me is completely in bounds. Maybe that there is only one person that can only be in Ronnie Harrison.
Yeah.
Ronnie takes issue with that, but what Nick said is probably true.
BT, it's not even about Harrison here. It's about the nature of college athletes and college football athletes who think they're ready when they're not ready. Because it doesn't matter if you think you're ready. It's whether the NFL teams think you're ready. He also threw out a bunch of statistics, which are really compelling. There were about 75 or 80 or so per year over the last 5 years underclassmen that declared for the National Football League. Of that 80 or so, 25% didn't get drafted. Of the rest of them, 25% were out of the league in 3 years. So as Nick says, and he's right, 50% of them had, quote, failed NFL careers. And if they had stayed, not only would they maybe improve their skills a little bit and been drafted higher first or second round, which would have guaranteed them at least 4 or 5 years in the National Football League, but also they could compete for a championship and win something that's invaluable for a college athlete, especially at a program like Alabama or a program like Clemson or a program like Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You know, why bounce unless you know you're going to be a first round or second round draft pick? If you're anything other than that, you might as well stay.
Okay. I mean, listen, what Nick Saban is saying is accurate. I'm sure if it is selfishly motivated, you know, more veterans return for Nick Saban.
Right.
In theory, the easier his job gets. But you gave out the number, roughly half, you know, quote-unquote failed NFL careers. But, you know, how do we know that if the player who was under that, you know, that netting of failure, if you will, how do we know that if that player didn't go back to the college campus, he would have been exposed more and he wouldn't have been drafted at all or drafted even lower? We don't know that. There's too many variables to make one concrete opinion.
That's true. He also could have gotten hurt.
Yep.
He could have gotten out-competed by a first or second year that is rising at the position. So you never really know. But here's the reality, BT. There are 254 draft picks this year. This is, and there are 100 this year, more than the 80 that was on average over the last five. There are 135 underclassmen declared, right? Statistically, there are going to be a lot of kids who don't get drafted. And then what happens to them? And would they have rather, if they could second-guess themselves, go back and stay at a college and potentially win a championship or at least get a degree so you have an appreciable skill other than being a super athlete?
Okay. All right, Teek, here's a name we've dissected a lot on this show, and we'll continue to dissect until either the Cardinals say he's staying put, which isn't going to happen, or he finds a new destination, which is going to happen, a new team. Josh Rosen, how about this? So the Cardinals offseason conditioning program began today. Not only did Josh Rosen show up, which is a testament to his character based on all the innuendo that he's been subjected to, let's face it, he was the first guy in the building for new head coach Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think this complicates their decision, but it could make him maybe more appealing to a potential suitor who was a little bit on the fence with Josh Rosen. What do you make of this with him showing up today?
I think this is just a matter of working out the deal. As you read some of these reports around the Arizona Cardinals and potential trade partners, it's all about saving face and making everyone look good in the deal. And maybe that's the compensation that comes back. Maybe that's the structure or whoever else is around Josh Rosen. But look, the only thing that him being the first one there and creating a story about it benefits is media. It's a story. It makes it feel like there's more to it than the inevitable. As I've said many times, and BT, you're on board with this as well, there is no way that they hired Cliff Kingsbury to have Josh Rosen be their quarterback. It's nothing against Josh Rosen. It has everything to do with Cliff Kingsbury's offensive system. And if they didn't want Cliff Kingsbury's offensive system, then why the hell you hire a failed college coach? So that is what it is.
I'm totally with you. You and I have hit this a million times. I guess, you know, it's a little frustrating because as much as we've talked about this here, I think your Giants are maybe in the periphery, perhaps, of acquiring, on the periphery.
Yep.
I still don't know where he winds up. My best guess, based on the aggression of the package that they will eventually come up with to make this happen to entice Arizona, I think it's going to be the Redskins.
Interesting.
That's kind of in my gut.
Yeah.
But the Giants could be. I'd keep an eye on the Patriots. But still, here we are, early April.
Never know what the Dolphins will do.
The Dolphins. You know. Although I get the sense the Dolphins are kicking it down the road for Tua. I get that sense.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't stun me either. Josh Rosen, he's a name that's not going away. Interesting story here. Somebody got paid. Cowboys, DeMarcus Lawrence. What do you wind up here? He got a lot of loot. No surprise. He has a characteristic that is absolutely desirable. You know, this is something that, like a shooter in the NBA, like a closer, although Kimbrel, so not a closer, like a starting, although Keuchel, like an elite, you know, position player with an OPS of 930. He's going to have a contract and get a lot of money. So will the guy who gets after the quarterback. However, DeMarcus Lawrence not healthy right now. He's going to undergo surgery to fix that torn labrum that he played with the past couple of years. How will that manifest itself during the offseason as he prepares to get ready for the season?
Well, I only know this because my son, AJ, had a torn labrum, and it sucks. You got to put some anchors in there. But they usually heal pretty solidly, especially if you have a musculature, which he obviously does, and then a good rehab program, which we know the Dallas Cowboys do. Look, he's been a baller over the last 2 years, BT. 25 sacks, 14.5 2 years ago, 10.5 last year, forced fumbles, I think six over the last couple of years. He's a difference maker. And given that some of the turnover that was going on in this Dallas defense because of suspension issues, Randy Gregory we talked about, I forget his last name we talked to last week. It's important to have a veteran up front in this front seven. You combine him with Robert Quinn, who came in the trade from Miami, Leighton Vander Esch. This team has talent on the defensive side of the ball. DeMarcus Lawrence was their defensive leader. You knew this deal would get done. It was just a matter of time.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
By the way, I'm pretty sure you're referring to David Irving.
David Irving. Exactly right. He retired because he wanted to smoke weed.
That's true. Well, he's not stopping. I mean,
I don't blame him, man.
On Instagram, he's getting paid. Well, actually, he's not getting paid. Well, he is getting paid for some of the appearances.
Yeah, I think he has that event he's hosting. But
the
look,
Weed Network.
The Weed Network. that's right.
Crazy.
Well, he said on our show, you should listen to this.
Yeah.
On our show, if you're interested, He said, I was medicating myself. A lot of guys are starting to talk that way about cannabis. It's not, you know, just because I want to get high.
No, I got you. Better than popping pills. I think anybody that's done any sort of research on this would certainly concur. Coming up next, what if Zion Williamson and Duke, by extension, is really in the middle of this?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.